Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. With the November midterm election now less than a week away, our series of interviews with the Republican and Democratic nominees for public office continues now in a conversation with Democratic candidate Nikki Fried, who's vying to become the state's next Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Fried is an attorney and lifelong Floridian who previously headed the felony division of the Alachua County Public Defender's Office. In the private sector, she's also worked on behalf of Florida homeowners facing foreclosure during the housing crisis a decade ago. In more recent years, Fried has worked as a lobbyist on behalf of the medical marijuana industry here in Florida. Fried's campaign marks her first attempt at holding public office, and she's the first woman from either major party to receive a nomination for the Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services position. I recently caught up with Fried in a conversation about her background and qualifications and the priorities on her campaign platform, including addressing water quality and harmful algal blooms, helping citrus and other Florida growers, implementation of the state's medical marijuana industry, developing a hemp industry in Florida, regulation of firearms, and cracking down on fraudsters that prey on vulnerable residents. Let's hear that conversation now. Before we get into issues and your campaign priorities, I wanted to talk a little about your background. You're a lifelong Floridian raised in the Miami area, and as an attorney working for the Alachua County Public Defender's Office, heading the felony division, and then in private practice working with homeowners facing foreclosure during that terrible housing crisis. Tell me about what you gained through that work experience and how you think that's going to help you lead the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services.
Sure. You know, as an attorney, we're taught to be advocates, to be fierce fighters for the things that we believe in and we're fighting for. So I got to have, you know, firsthand experience at the public defender's office overseeing a caseload of 1,500 different clients. So about four different attorneys that were underneath me. So I gained leadership skills, case management skills, as well as seeing firsthand all the injustices and the fallacies in our criminal justice system, and so know kind of where we need to go on some criminal justice reform, and that helps as far as a member of the clemency board as a cabinet member. And then when I was down in South Florida fighting, against the big banks, knowing, you know, some of the corporate, the corruption that was happening and all of the fraud on our consumers. You know, basically a lot of these mortgage companies and a lot of the banks went out of their way to deceive the public about what was, you know, in their best interest. And so seeing how that was injustice. And so I've been a fierce fighter for the public and for the taxpayers for my entire legal career. And so when I get to, you know, be in a position where I can make a difference and make a change, I know that all of my experience and all of my background will help me move forward on that.
And you're no stranger to politics, of course, having worked as a lobbyist in Tallahassee for the last several years. And when you came to Fort Myers for an event in late September, you had said, quote, "I know enough to be dangerous. I know where the bodies are buried when it comes to policy and where it comes to the budgeting process. And so I know enough to know how to fix it." And I was hoping you could expound on what you meant by that quote, particularly, you know, figuratively knowing where the bodies are buried.
You know, having been in Tallahassee and seeing, you know, kind of how the sausage is made, you know, knowing the budget process and how last-minute amendments get, you know, thrown onto pieces of legislation, knowing how, you know, certain line items go into the budget at the last minute, and really that's kind of what got me to run for office, because I was so frustrated with all of those happenings. I used to say, you know, God forbid, you know, citizens of our state came up to Tallahassee the last 2 weeks, they would be disgusted by the legislative process. And so somebody like me who knows that from the, you know, from an outside perspective as being, you know, a government consultant and lobbyist, you know, I know how to fix it. I know where all of those things come into play and make sure that there's transparency in the process. I'd be able to go in and kind of fix how the budgets get made and making sure that the priorities and the budget are what is best for the state of Florida and not necessarily the special interest. So that's kind of what I meant, because I know the other side of it and know how I have felt fighting for good causes and for the right side of the issues, and seeing how legislation at the very last minute, like speech renourishment issues, fighting for that in the last minute, those bills being killed and because of politics. And I was working on a bill last year to protect victims of sex trafficking. and at the very last minute, that bill was killed. And so it's a very frustrating process, and you're trying to do the right thing. And so I can get in there, and I can make sure that we start putting our priorities in the right direction.
All right. And let's go ahead and delve into the issues. Probably one of the biggest hot button issues for folks where I'm talking to you from in Southwest Florida is going to be water quality. As I'm sure you know, we've been dealing with the blue-green algae blooms and also the toxic red tide algae blooms. We're getting some relief right now, but that had been an issue all summer long. And for the red tide, that had lingered for nearly a year. So what is your take on how we can address this in the future, hopefully preventing these kind of ecological and economic pain that we've experienced from that as the Commissioner of Agriculture?
Yeah, it's very heartbreaking. You're absolutely right. I spent a lot of time in your community hearing the heartbreaking story of the businessmen and women whose businesses have been suffering. You know, there was a $90 million hit this year on our tourism because of the green algae and the red tide. And so it has to be a priority, and it hasn't been under the current administration. We know that Governor Scott cut $700 million from the DEP budget. I would be a strong advocate to make sure that we put that money back in and we get the right regulations. And then we also know that there was a deregulation of the pollution, the pollutants up in the northern part of our state going into Lake Okeechobee. And we need to make sure that we are increasing our best management practices, that we are actually regulating them, which is not what's happening right now. And the other thing that's been so disappointing is that we haven't put science before politics. Politics has led the conversation. Everybody wants to finger point. But the reality is that, you know, when we saw the red tide exacerbated this year, it took everybody, you know, months upon months to start coming up with ideas and solutions. And that needs to be stopped. So we need to make sure that we're coming up with ideas. There's fantastic technology out there, innovative ideas of how to kill the red tide. And that wasn't initiated, and that needs to be done and become a priority. So as Commissioner of Agriculture, I would be a strong advocate of science, of technology, innovation, and there's a lot of people who want to help solve these issues and making sure that they have a seat at the table to start working through them and to make sure not only are we being proactive when we need to be, but, you know, reactive when the issue comes to us.
And I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about another one of your primary issues, and that's medical marijuana. I think it probably goes without saying that you're in agreement with recent rulings we've seen from Leon County Circuit Judge Charles Dodson, who's, you know, in no uncertain words, admonished both the legislature and the Department of Health for laws implementing that constitutional amendment passed by Florida voters, and then the Department of Health's regulatory activity regarding that. Tell me your take on this, because I know this is a big issue for you. Do you want the Department of Agriculture to play a bigger role in implementing medical marijuana here in Florida?
Yeah, you know, the ruling a couple of weeks ago, you know, highlighted exactly what, you know, that we've been saying all along, that the legislature and the Department of Health has stood in the way of the proper implementation of this amendment. And I do firmly believe that the legislature is going to have to go back in during the 2019 session and fix all of this. So I do believe that the Department of Agriculture has a tremendous role to be playing in the future. One, because this is a crop. This is something that is being grown by our farming community, and we need to have a more active role. And especially once we start going towards the conversation of legalization, then it's absolutely just a crop like anything else that's being grown. And I think that, you know, the Department of Health has just been overloaded and bogged down with all of these rulemaking process, all of the lawsuits, all of the challenges. And it's time to start being proactive, get it out of the Department of Health. The Department of Agriculture already regulates so many different aspects, from the consumer services components, the growing aspects, to the fertilizers. And I think it's better served under the Department of Agriculture than the Department of Health. But what the rulings have been for the last couple of months has just, put it into writing what we have all been saying, that the legislature has violated the Constitution and their implementation is preventing access to our millions of patients across the state who are in dire need of this medicine.
That relates somewhat to another issue of yours. You really want Florida to embrace a hemp industry here. And I don't know about you, but if you had told me 20 years ago that the hemp industry in the United States was going to come after medical marijuana and in some places recreational marijuana, I never would have believed it, because all the issues that folks have had as far as mind-altering qualities of medical cannabis don't really have anything to do with hemp, and it's such a versatile product.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It's kind of ludicrous. There's a history that goes along with this, that they were concerned that the cannabis crop, and so they didn't know how to decipher between hemp and cannabis and THC, so they just kind of lumped it all together. But I have been a huge proponent that we need to expand the hemp marketplace here in the state of Florida. Not only is it economically great for our farming community that has suffered tremendously from the citrus greening, from the tariffs, and from NAFTA, and so this gives them an alternative crop for growing, but it also is better for our environment. It uses less water, it uses less fertilizer, and we already are seeing so many of the CBD products coming into our state. I want to make sure that our farming community and our consumers here in the state of Florida are protected. Putting the CBD products through a regulatory framework here in our state so you know exactly what you are getting, and then be part of Fresh from Florida, so all of the economic benefits stay here and within our state. But this could be a fantastic crop that is potentially it brings billions of dollars here to our state, which is taxable revenue that we could be using for affordable housing, for infrastructure, for education, and it's something that we need to be doing. And I have said that, you know, if I am elected, I will be working with the legislature during the first session, be working on bills and language to actually accomplish this.
And while we're on the subject of something impacting growers, let's talk about citrus greening. We know science is close to, if not a solution, then a variety of workarounds for the citrus industry, you know, allowing trees infected with greening to live possibly for years. But thousands of growers have already called it quits. Thousands more are just living season to season trying to make it. What more could or should the Department of Agriculture be doing to help citrus growers and, you know, one of Florida's most iconic industries?
Yeah, we have to protect this industry. I mean, when people across the country think about Florida, they think about sunshine, beach, and citrus and our oranges. So we need to make sure that we are protecting our citrus industry. The University of Florida and ISIS has spent over $1 million in research. We need to make sure that we are continuing the research on this issue. And we have other, you know, I spoke to a young lady a couple weeks ago who's been working on another research project that focuses on the soil quality and making sure these types of different research aspects are funded and supported, and then giving our citrus growers the support that they may need if they want to try alternative growing processes. I've heard from some of our local farmers who are trying alternative grow process and are just haven't been receiving the support yet from the Department of Agriculture.
Well, and I want to switch gears a little bit to firearms as well. As we know, earlier this year, the Department of Agriculture here in Florida came under fire after an Office of Inspector General investigation found that for more than a year, a staffer failed to run firearm applicants through an FBI database called the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. This ultimately resulted in the revocation of 291 firearm permits. How would the Department of Ag function differently under your leadership when it comes to enforcement of firearm regulations and determining who's going to, you know, have their applications approved and who won't?
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, we need to do an audit of the department and figure out exactly what happened, why that we put that this was somebody was able to not log in for 13 months, whether that could happen again. We need to make sure that those holes are plugged, and also start the conversation of moving it over to back over to law enforcement. Law enforcement is already so instrumental in the process. And that way you get politics out of this. You know, we saw after the primary that over 300 emails were released between the Department of Agriculture and the NRA lobbyist, where she had direct influence over policies that were coming out of the Department of Agriculture. And when you move it over to law enforcement, you take the politics out of the conversation and make sure that background checks were done in an expedient and effective manner and not putting the risk in the lives of our Floridians in harm's way.
And on the consumer protection end of the department, you've had some tough talk on the campaign trail in the last couple months when it comes to cracking down on scammers and fraudsters, particularly gas station skimmers and phone scams. Tell me more about your position there and maybe where you see the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services not doing as much as it could.
Yeah, the balls have been dropped here, for sure. We have to reprioritize that this is a huge part of this position. Is the consumer services and protecting our taxpayers across our state. And this hasn't been done. I've heard from, you know, tens of thousands of Floridians across our state that every time they call Department of Agriculture to phone in a complaint of fraud that's happening, there's no response. There's no one on the other end. So we have to first be responsive to our citizens, and then we have to start investigating and going after these fraudsters and using resources from our local governments. I know so many of our local governments want to be involved in these conversations so that they can use their resources at the local level, and that we need to have partnerships. And so I would heighten a lot of the influence that the local governments may have on this issue. I would also make sure that we are working on consumer protections if we need to beef up that stuff in the Florida statutes. I would be a proponent of that and start going after the bad guys. We have not seen that happen in the state, and so we need to make sure we prioritize the consumer services aspect of this job.
And a final question for you, because I haven't seen any other candidates making this a campaign issue the way you have. Food deserts. And I know it's certainly something that we've covered in our area and really public health officials in places where folks don't have access to traditional grocery stores. It's really been characterized as something of a public health crisis. Why has you made this such an important issue for you?
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. I've talked to so many people across the state that are living in food deserts, and to hear about the fact that, you know, when our children are walking home from school, or, you know, individuals that are working two or three jobs and have to go take, you know, bus after bus in order to get to the grocery store. And it is a crisis. It's a health conscious crisis because people are not getting, you know, produce. They're having to have canned food or frozen food or, you know, processed. And it creates a health crisis across our state. And it is a responsibility of the Department of Agriculture to step up and to be leaders in this, and to be working with our farming community, working with our local communities to create local communities of farmer markets and farms, and working with our box stores to create some type of working relationship in these communities, because this is a part of our state that has been completely neglected. And it definitely would be a priority in my office to make sure that we are coming up with new solutions to fix this, because otherwise people's health and safety are at risk. We're seeing an increase in diabetes and other types of health conditions that only increase our health insurance. And we have a moral obligation to step up and to fix this.
Well, Nikki Fried, I know your schedule is tight, and I don't want to keep you any longer here, but I just wanted to say if there's anything else that you wanted to add or anything I should have asked that I didn't.
No, I really appreciate your time. And I think the most important, you know, what I've been saying a lot on the campaign trail is 99.9% of things that fall underneath the Department of Agriculture are not partisan. We all drink the same water. We all breathe the same air. We all live on the same land. And the issues that are facing our state need to put, you know, science before politics. And, you know, really encourage everybody that realizes that you are looking for the best person for this job, and that this is not a partisan issue. While we may have letters next to our name that indicate a specific party, you need to be voting for the person, not the party.
Well, Nikki Fried, a candidate for Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, thanks so much for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That was a conversation with Democratic candidate for Florida Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services, Nikki Fried, recorded late last week. Earlier this month, I sat down in studio with her Republican opponent, Matt Caldwell, for a closer look at his priorities and positions. You can hear that conversation online at GulfCoastLive.org. We're taking a short break, but when we return, last night, the PBS NewsHour's Judy Woodruff anchored an hour of special coverage from Florida, exploring how recent events are weighing on the minds of voters here. We're going to listen to several of those segments, including a conversation about President Trump's strategy in the Sunshine State and whether red tide might be turning some Republican voters blue. I'm John Davis. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.